In February 2019, EFCA pastors and church leaders gathered at Trinity International University, Deerfield, Illinois, for the annual theology conference. The focus was on the theme, the doctrine of creation, theological significance and implications. On this episode of the podcast, we share Greg Strand's introduction to the conference. Greg serves as the Executive Director of Theology and Credentialing in the EFCA.
In our 2017 pre-conference, some of you may remember, we addressed the important topic, Genesis and the age of the earth. Does the Bible speak definitively on the age of the universe? This was done in a friendly dialogue debate format, with one presenter answering no and the other presenter responding yes. Some of you may remember that was C. John Collins and Al Mohler. We did that in conjunction with the Carl F. H. Henry Center for Theological Understanding, the Creation Project. And Tom heads that ministry. But that's what we did. That was the debate. Now, this more focused topic on origins and the age of the universe then was planned as our pre-conference with the goal of addressing this issue more broadly as the topic and theme of our whole theology conference. We are addressing creation in a broader way this year, which is evidenced in our theme, the doctrine of creation, theological significance and implications. Now, why two conferences in this way? Well, at our pre-conference a couple of years ago, we looked at the doctrine of creation through a microscope, focusing almost exclusively on the beginning of the universe, its origin, and specifically whether or not the Bible mandates a certain age of the universe. While acknowledging the importance of origins and questions related to the age of the universe, we now turn and consider creation through the telescope so that we can focus more broadly on the theological significance and implications of the doctrine of creation more comprehensively. Specifically, we consider how affirming the truth of God's creation affects us, human beings created in the imago Dei, the image of God, who are the culmination of God's creation. The doctrine of creation, dear friends, is foundational not just for beginnings, but also for endings, and additionally, for everything in between. Now, friends, this is part of the biblical story. I highlight it in four parts. God's unfolding plan of redemption through four acts. Creation, fall, redemption, and glorification. Begins with creation and ends with recreation. What do we learn about creation? We affirm the biblical truth that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Through God's purposes of creation, we also affirm the heavens declare the glory of God, and all things were created through him and for him. The culmination of God's good handiwork is the creation of Adam and Eve, the first created human beings, that is, the first human beings created uniquely in the image of God, and morally accountable to God. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. The fall. We also affirm the biblical truth that Adam and Eve sinned against God. In rebelling against God's good design, manifested in what appeared to be a simple and innocent act, she took of its fruit and ate, and he ate. They defied God's authority and not only lived with the impersonal consequences of that sin, but they also lived with the personal consequences and punishment of that sin. They died spiritually, and this death had cosmic implications. As God meted out punishment, he promises an offspring, the seed, who will be and bring good news, the gospel. He will be the one who will renew and restore that which has fallen to God's original design and an intent for creation. Redemption. All of humanity is... my page went too far down. All of humanity is spiritually dead, and all of creation is broken. Post-fall, neither is fulfilling their design purpose or goal for which they were created. All of this is the reality apart from Christ. However, Christ makes all the difference. The seed, or the offspring promised, is the one who comes to destroy the works of the devil, so that we might live through him. Through Christ, there is a whole new act of creation, just as amazing and miraculous as the initial act of creation. And we are being renewed into the image of God's Son, fulfilling God's purpose for humanity. In between the now of the new creation in Christ and the not yet of experiencing the new heavens and new earth, we groan, including creation and humanity. For, Paul writes, the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we await eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. The final chapter, glorification. God promises that the groaning will give way to something new, a place where, and an experience in which, sin and its effects will be done away. They will be no more. God's design and purpose for his creation will be complete. His redemptive plan will have reached fulfillment with eternal and everlasting conscious and bodily glorified implications, including all of creation functioning as it was designed. Through Christ, God reconciled to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. John saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. And he also records the one sitting on the throne pronouncing, "I am making all things new." So in summary, God created all things with a telos, a purpose and end goal in mind. Sin affected God's original plan, but it did not derail or destroy it. He was not surprised, neither did it catch him off guard, such that he now needed to enact a salvage plan, which was second best. Sin was allowed in order to magnify God's greatness and to manifest his grace and mercy as he fulfilled his plan through his divine decree of sending his Son and saving his people and restoring all things to himself. Justification is a critical truth in the Bible for the Christian and for the church. See, justification is that end-time verdict that is brought into the present, a truth, an experience which transforms believers from the inside out. This not only affects us as an individual, but as a corporate gathering of believers in the church, which is truly an outpost of heaven. Everything about us is transformed and being transformed in the likeness of the Son. And this affects how we view all of God's creation. We are stewards. We are stewards of God's creation under the Lord Jesus Christ's rule and reign. And we are committed to work toward alleviating the groaning, knowing that is an implication of and living between the now and the not yet, with the assurance the groaning will be someday abolished in the new heavens and new earth. As we live in the in-between times with the groaning, in a double sense, the groaning as a result of living in a fallen world, in the not yet fully realized kingdom, and the groaning as a result of longing for the now of the kingdom to be ushered in fully, we do not lose heart, because this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. There will be, at the end of the day, a recapitulation, a renewal, to the point of being considered being made new. God's original design and purposes tell us for all of creation will finally be realized. God's original creation is now recreated, not creating new things, but the renewal of all things, such that they reach their final intended purpose, such that it is described as making all things new. That's the focus of our conference. Our speakers will address the way the doctrine of creation impacts our understanding of God, of human dignity, of human sexuality, of our relationship to the environment, to work and how we approach work, and our ultimate destiny, all from biblical, theological, and historical perspectives. In these lectures, we are hopeful to do three things. First, to address what the Bible teaches on these issues, along with the theological significance and implications. Second, we will look at some of the ways in which these issues have been understood through the years and how they are understood today. Here we may see some acceptable options and some options that are beyond the acceptable biblical and theological boundaries. And finally, we will focus on some of the ways these doctrines are being questioned or undermined or denied today. And we are grateful to be able to gather with other EFCA pastors, leaders, elders, staff, and we are eager to learn from our excellent and eminently capable speakers. So here is who they are. This is the flow of our conference. The doctrine of creation and God, our lecture this evening, Tom McCall will be sharing with us. The second lecture tomorrow morning is the doctrine of creation and human origins. Hans Medume will lead us in this session. The next one following is the doctrine of creation and human work. Tom Nelson, our Free Church pastor, will lead us in this session, followed by the doctrine of creation and human dignity. Paige Cunningham will lead us in this session, followed by the doctrine of creation and human sexuality with Todd Wilson. And then following that is the doctrine of creation and human stewardship. That is, how do we, as those entrusted by God to his creation, how do we steward what he's created? Jonathan Moo will lead us in this topic. And then finally, the doctrine of creation and human destiny. Michael Whitmer will lead us in this wonderful culmination and climax of our conference.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the EFCA Theology Podcast. You can find more episodes by searching EFCA Theology Podcast in any podcast app or on the web at efca.org/podcast.